echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a digital transformation podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations grow business value in a digital world. Episode 3, Leveraging APIs to Build a Digital Ecosystem. Today, we'll discuss how successful enterprises are using APIs to increase partnerships, accelerate innovation, and generate new lines of business. Hello, I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist for Google Cloud, and joining me today is a digital transformation lead on our global customer success team out of Chicago, Joe Barker. Welcome.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic.
Same here.
So, Joe, today's topic is something we get asked about all the time, and that's this concept of a digital ecosystem. If we were to define an ecosystem, could you define what is that really we're talking about?
Pretty big question. I think I'll try to do my best. When I think about APIs and ecosystem, I think APIs can be created and productized for multiple platform channels. So internal, external developers, business partners, ISVs, third-party developers. The opportunity there is you could frame different customer journeys and experiences based on that. And so I think you can take and leverage APIs and take multiple approaches to create different platform channels. I will say co-creation is probably one of the key components of that, right? So you're not just creating and exposing APIs for the sake of, I'm just sending them out there in the universe and I hope people come.
Yeah.
I think it's also important to think about who's going to help me on my journey, who's going to leverage the data that I have or the services that I'm exposing to create new features, to create new innovation out in this world. And so the ecosystem is endless, right? You can have a constant feedback loop with partner developers or third-party channels. But yeah, I think it's ever growing. There's always going to be disruption and something that every company should be thinking about.
So you mentioned two things there that I'd like to dive into as we progress today.
Sure.
One is, are ecosystems exclusive to external partnerships, or can you build internal ecosystems? That's one question. And you also mentioned the different components of what makes up an ecosystem. I think that's very interesting, and we should try to really dissect what are those different components that we might see as part of successful ecosystems.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can we see ecosystems being exclusive to internal within an organization?
I think the opportunity is there. A lot of companies are still trying to evaluate what they can expose. So a lot of the focus is on, you know, well, we have these services and they're used internally. But there's a huge opportunity, I think, for an internal ecosystem as far as if I can create a standardized set of libraries or API mashups within my organization and I can share that, you know, because you see, for example, like banking industry, right? You have a lot of business units that are super siloed. And so they're reinventing the wheel. They're not really communicating with one another, and APIs could be that communication channel. And so if I can create value through these APIs that other business units can take advantage of, that sales teams can go out and market, I think there is leverage there to create a really strong internal ecosystem that will then lead to how can we now take what we have, this proprietary value, and expose it out into larger external ecosystems.
Also joining us today, part of our editorial team at Google, Michael Inler. So, Michael, we've been talking a little bit already about ecosystems, and I asked Joe just a moment ago, could we define what is an ecosystem? What is your thoughts?
Sure. If you think about APIs as mechanisms that allow value to be exchanged between different parties, then the people interacting around those APIs constitute an ecosystem. So as Joe said, this can be something that's internal. You may have an API that provides access to a database. You don't want to redundantly recreate that over and over again. You want to have people across the organization leveraging that one API for efficiency, reuse, and so on. You want people within the organization to be using the best innovative resources they have instead of existing in silos. So you can have these internal ecosystems. But you can also have these externalized ecosystems where you're sharing with partners. Those partners are building experiences that may bring your brand to end users that you didn't have a relationship before, or they may be adding value to your existing customers in ways that you may not have the time or resources to dedicate internally yourself, but by working with these external partners, by giving them access to your APIs, by participating in that ecosystem, you end up creating richer, more compelling, and hopefully more valuable experiences for your customers.
So you said one key thing there, and I think that's our first component. If we were to break down again, what is an API ecosystem? Reusability. I think we can all agree that having features, functions, data that can be reusable, whether that's internal or external, helps to drive or build an actual ecosystem.
When we're thinking about an ecosystem, I think as long as you are generating value units, whether that's yourself or the partners you're working with or the end consumers, right? It's all about value units. If you look at any typical platform ecosystem, strategy book, playbook, anything, it's about you generate the value units, analyze the feedback loops that are given back to you, and then you look at opportunities to further expand that ecosystem.
So value is an interesting word use there, because I think a lot of organizations look at the value of APIs differently. And we could argue that one organization gets value from an API ecosystem solely by expansion of or increase of their consumer base. Another organization might look at the value of APIs where I can now generate new business revenue through my API ecosystem. Is one approach better than another approach?
I think you have to take all into consideration, right? So you look at what is the quantitative impact, right? So you're looking at the business impact, and then you're looking at strategic alignment as far as, okay, so when I'm looking to expose a first set of APIs as potential value units to the external ecosystem, how does that tie back to the strategic alignment from my CEO? And so there's different avenues. I think monetization is one that might be a little more challenging. I don't know, Michael, what's your opinion on that? But do you think about a monetization strategy right away? Or do you look more about, I really just want to get folks onto this platform and try to understand kind of where they're going with it?
And more importantly, is monetization a key component of building an ecosystem?
It doesn't have to be. There are cases where monetization may make a lot of sense. For example, your company may have a very proprietary, very hard to reproduce, very valuable set of data that lots of other people want to use. So that may be a case where you can say, okay, there's a real upside here in treating this data as a revenue stream, treating access to it as a revenue stream, putting an API in front of it so that other people can get access to that data and do interesting things with it. So that's definitely a use case that exists. At the same time, there's compelling evidence that it's more about the number of interactions that you have around your different capabilities, so around that data or around that functionality that the API is giving people access to. If you think about like a social media platform, for example, they don't charge people for access to their APIs because they recognize there's a symbiotic relationship between them and the partners, developers, whoever, who are consuming those APIs. So if you're the social media company, you're saying, I need to have awesome stuff on my social media platform. I can't build all of it myself. If I open up my API to outsiders, they will help me to populate my platform with awesome apps that keep people coming back to the platform. Likewise, if you're one of the people building apps there, you're saying to yourself, the advantage for me is I don't have to attract all of these people myself. I don't have to carry that burden. I can plug into this platform where customers are already congregated. I can use these social functions I don't have to build myself that are being given to me. And that creates that ecosystem relationship between them without any direct monetization. The value comes out of those interactions that opens up new possibilities for relationships with those customers, for things you see where a rideshare service is suddenly starting to deliver food because it can leverage that customer base that's built up and can leverage those relationships with people using its APIs. So I think that monetization is something people should think about, but they shouldn't run into it just because they have an API that they think is valuable. In a lot of cases, you'll build more interactions around it by just opening it up to people and going from there.
In the social media example that you gave, and I think we can identify several other examples where we are not monetizing the API itself directly, but there is revenue streams occurring because of that API. So like, again, in the social media example, we could argue that the more people that come to the platform, the more advertising dollars that I can generate. And my whole goal is I want to get more interactions onto the platform because I know that more interactions means more revenue from ads.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see that in a lot of the platform business models where an online store may have 1 million merchants that provide it with inventory, and that attracts a large base of customers. And that opens up an opportunity for the owner of that online store to maybe sell their own branded products as well. You see that in Amazon and others. So you can do things like that that are interesting. I think it's also worth thinking about sort of freemium models that some people use.
Yep.
AccuWeather would be a great example of this, where they've got tiers for their APIs. If you want to build an application with weather data, you may only need that data to refresh once or twice a day. The purpose for your application may just be it is raining, it is sunny outside. You don't need anything more granular than that. But if you need second by second refresh of data or something with a lot larger overhead, they also offer pay for use APIs. So you can have this sort of spectrum of users. Some may graduate from free ones to more expensive ones. But either way, they're increasing the number of developers who are working with their APIs. They're increasing the number of end users who are using applications that say powered by AccuWeather somewhere or data provided by AccuWeather. So in each case, there are ways to get to those directly monetizable situations with the kind of higher tier APIs or those more diffuse or indirect revenue opportunities by basically opening it up and letting people interact with it for free.
Yeah, I think the key there is that, you know, it's not something that's one and done, right? I mean, this whole thing needs to be nurtured. That's why you're seeing this huge rise in the form of platform managers. And the value of APIs is that I can go and actually look at the analytics and understand who are my top developers and the apps they're generating and how much traffic they're generating. And that will give me the knowledge to say, okay, maybe I should look at a share revenue model, or maybe I should create tiers. Because you don't want to scare people away by introducing a monetization strategy, but at the same time, if they can make money and you can make money as well, I mean, that's a win-win. So
we talked a little bit about monetizing or increasing revenue opportunities or traffic opportunities through an API ecosystem. But what are the other possible use cases, benefits to generating, developing an API ecosystem?
One that comes to mind, I mean, it's a little slightly older, but when I think back to Twitter and when it first started, it had a pretty terrible user experience, like as far as their UI goes. And so what they did was they exposed their APIs right to the public. And then this company came along, I think it was called TweetDeck. Essentially, TweetDeck took kind of the APIs that were exposed. They created a whole new UI built on top of it. And all of a sudden, Twitter is saying, oh my God, my traffic is surging. I've got a huge growth in traffic. And it was an opportunity for them to say, it looks like they're doing the right thing. And they eventually, I think, acquired them. So there's opportunities to say, if we don't have someone in-house that might be doing some new functionality, maybe we can open this up and say, hey, can someone do a better job than what we're doing? I mean, there's huge potential there, right? And so that's why we were talking about earlier, that approach of having that collaboration opportunity.
You see this in a lot of instances. It's not just about whether my company has something valuable that I can give to outsiders. It's also about what outsiders have that is a great complement to my internal strengths.
It's a good way to look at it.
Yep. Yeah, like right now there are countless companies that feel pressure to integrate more personalization, more automation, more intelligence, all of those kinds of things into their customer experiences. But not too many of them have expertise in machine learning. Not too many of them are prepared to ramp up in just a few months or something toward a big machine learning initiative. Not a lot of them want to spend all of the R&D that's required to be a leader in that area. So this is a case where that symbiosis comes up again. I have data and it's very valuable to people, so I can share it with them. But other people may have pre-trained models that I can use to get more out of my data. So by partnering with them, I produce a better experience for my customers that benefits all parties involved.
Yeah, I think we can narrow that down into basically two words, expand and innovate. Because I talk with people a lot and I say point blank, there's no way you internally in your organization can possibly come up with all of the ideas that are out there. But the moment that you begin to expose your APIs and allow others to innovate on your behalf. So Joe, just like the Twitter example that you gave with TweetDeck, that happened because the APIs were exposed. They had built an ecosystem out of that, and other people saw the opportunities and the needs that consumers were demanding and went off to build those features. Ecosystems basically allow you to expand that research and development out and innovate across endless numbers of people to generate new ideas and, again, reach the demands of consumers.
And so, Michael, one thing we see, and I'm sure, Chris, you can attest to this, is the fact that a lot of companies think that they can just expose the APIs, right, and that developers will come, right? And so that's a common misstep. So
if you build it, they will come.
Exactly. And so do you have any advice for, there's an organization, they're looking to expose their first set of APIs, right? I mean, so what are some good steps they can take to avoid the if you build it, they will come scenario?
Sure. If they come, they have to have something to interact with. So if it's not a self-service experience where they can get up and running with access to the APIs, ability to experiment within a matter of minutes, they're probably going to jump ship and go look for a different API that gives them that self-service experience. So that's a really big one. Having a portal that allows people to learn about the API, explore if you've got multiple APIs, start experimenting, get up and running quickly, absolutely essential. Beyond that, you know, we talked about some of this with like getting data and iterating and all of that. You really need a constant manager, product manager,
right,
working with the API. You can't just have like, okay, a team built it, now they've moved on to the next thing, and the API is just some project they worked on that's in their rearview mirror. People need to be looking at how it's being interacted with. They need to be making iterations, thinking about it in a real user-focused way, the way you would any software product.
We were talking on another episode, actually, about the role of a product manager in API products and why API products are so essential in today's organizations. And I think it goes directly with what you're saying, in that having this product mindset and basically productizing your APIs and your data to be able to create these experiences allow you ultimately, again, to meet the needs and the demands of consumers. They expect certain things, and you have to be able to deliver those certain things to them. That product owner should be in touch with what your consumers are demanding. And when you expand this out to an ecosystem, now you basically have multiple channels and multiple people who are contributing to that knowledge base of understanding changes in market trends, changes in consumer expectations, changes in technology. And then again, APIs are allowing you to keep up with that no matter where they are or who are using them or consuming them.
I think it's important to think about those API users, those developers, and what incentives drive them, because they're not like a monolithic population where they're all driven by the same things. If you're releasing an API that gives access to some data that you've acquired over the years, that's very different, attracting developers who would care about that, than if you're trying to launch a big open source project like a Kubernetes type thing or something right, like that. So understanding, okay, some developers don't really want to interact with other developers. They just want access to a resource. They want to build their apps, and that's the relationship you have with them, versus these developers want to be collaborative. They want to build things with the APIs that they can leverage with one another. They can collaborate in different ways. That's totally different. So understanding that incentive is very important. You know, do they expect to share in profits if there's a monetization element? Do they do this primarily for practice or recognition, which you see more in some of the open source ones? A lot of different ways to attract those developers, and understanding which group you see using your API to do different things is important to getting that right.
So I think the key there is the fact that you are essentially a product manager, and the fact that you need to create those personas and those customer journeys, right? You need to understand, okay,
totally,
before you just make that assumption. And so, yeah, that's a great point.
So let's go to our question of the day. All of our products and services are built internally. So this sounds sort of like what we were talking about at the beginning. If we don't engage with partners, why would we need an API ecosystem?
That's a good question. I'm processing it right now.
Michael?
Sure. Your internal users have the same needs as your partners. We talk a lot about how it's important to give a great developer experience when we set up an external developer portal and all these outsiders are coming to use whatever data or functionality I've made available to them. why should my internal talent be any less deserving of those great experiences, of having easy access to reuse of the most valuable things out there, giving that API ecosystem and that product-minded attitude to your internal teams just makes it that much easier to accelerate development, to bring more things to market faster, to learn from the things you bring to market and iterate. Having the APIs is sort of the central mechanism where people exchange value, does all of that for you, whether it's an internal or an external ecosystem you're talking about.
Yeah, and the reason I stalled is because all I could think about was why not? I mean, you know, if you're essentially, we talk about market disruption all the time, right? I mean, if sure. I'm not thinking about how can I create new business channels or how can I create new opportunities for people to engage with my organization, right? I mean, APIs could be essentially the facade and the business face of the value you're trying to provide. So if I'm not doing that, someone else is going to come along and disrupt, or someone else is going to go and take away part of that moat that I've built. And so why not? That's really what I would say is, yeah. You know, what's the reason? Is it is it your culture? Is it the fact that you're scared of what investment might be? But if you don't try, like I said, everyone else is adopting and innovating. And if you don't, you're probably going to lose.
I mean, think of it this way. Do you want to rebuild the functionality to look up store locations every time you have a new application that requires that? Every new mobile app, maybe it's a wearable app this time instead of a smartphone. Do you want to rebuild that every single time?
Right.
Or do you want to have one API product that everyone internally recognizes, oh, okay, when I build my applications and I need to use this geolocation functionality, this is what we use?
Yeah, more so, if I'm a store that is using your products, I don't necessarily want to have to look up just your location information. I may want to look up the amount of products that are at your current location within this vicinity that have the color palette of Absolutely. On and on and on to be able to customize that experience based on what my individual needs are.
No, that's a great example of how having this product-oriented API mindset and this helps you to satisfy the needs of your customers. Customers now don't want to just go to a store and browse around in a lot of cases. They want to order something online and know that it's available, know if it's being delivered, when it's going to come to them. And if they need it immediately, know what local inventory looks like across all the locations they could visit. All of that is powered by APIs, bringing the right information to the right user in the right context. So if you're not building APIs as products, you're not doing this. You're not trying to meet those user needs in a very efficient way.
And I think we saw that specific example with Amazon and Walmart. If you look at the comparisons between the two, Amazon was the one that you had Jeff Bezos giving the email about API first everything or else you're fired. And then you had Walmart going the opposite way. And because of the mashups that Amazon provided, you look at its stock price, you look at the innovation it does. And Walmart, you know, kind of lost that market share. And that's a perfect example. They didn't expose their APIs to the ecosystem and they suffered. And now they're playing catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. You could say that having that API mandate over at Amazon helped them to move so fast because it's what allowed them to have those two pizza teams. Instead of one giant, slow-moving development team, you've got lots and lots of little ones that can work without getting in one another's way because all the APIs are, you know, independently deployable. Switch them out without breaking the whole application. And that's the whole way that that parallelization of development is enabled by working with APIs. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great way to end today's episode. So thank you, Michael. Appreciate you joining us. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate your input also.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
And thank you to everyone who's listening. If you would like more information about the show, please visit thatdigitalshow.com. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, and then share the link with your network, coworkers, and teams so they can transform and grow their business as well. And join us next week on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.